Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Market, sponsored by the CME Group, Dateline, Scottsdale, Arizona, Thursday, December 31. Hello again, Orion Samuelson, again with you every week throughout the year to look back at the week just ending in the marketplace. But today we'll look back at the year that ended today in the marketplace. Couple of comments before we look at those closing prices in some of the commodities. If any of you have any doubt that we are not in a global economy, all you need do is take a look at what happened in the stock market and the commodity market, the metals market and the oil market this year. China and its activities on the valuation of its currency. The terrorist attacks at several points in the world, the continued concern about the oil price and the volume of oil being produced, much of that happening outside the borders of the United States, but all of it having an impact on market prices in all of our markets here. But let's start this week's broadcast by looking at the trends for the end of the quarter, the end of the week, and the end of the year. First of all, the stock market. The S&P for the week down 0.8%. The Dow for the week down 0.7%. And the NASDAQ for the week closed down 0.8%. For the month, the S&P down 1.8%. The Dow down 1.7%, and the NASDAQ down 2%. And then we take a look at the quarter. For the quarter, the S&P closed up 6.4%. A good quarter for the Dow, it closed up 7%, and the NASDAQ closed up 8.4%. But even with that increase in the quarterly report, not enough to overcome some downside to the market this year. For the year, the Dow down 2.2%. The S&P closed down 0.7% for 2015. That's the first year of decline since 2011, but the S&P was up on total return basis. And for the year, the Dow down 2.2%, the NASDAQ up 5.7%. But for two of the three major indices, we saw the year end lower, a down year on Wall Street. The commodity world, well, there's a lot of commodity to look at. We can first of all look at the closings and where we'll start the trade next week on Wall Street. The Dow down 178 points today, and it ends the year at 17,425. The S&P 500 ended the year at 2,043, and that was down 19 points for the year. The NASDAQ, or for the day, the NASDAQ ended the year at 5,007, and for the day, that was a loss of 58 points. VIX, that's the volatility index, the worry factor at the Board Options Exchange, CBOE, gained nearly a point today to end at 18.21. But for the year, the volatility index was the one index that did end higher, and it ended up 5.4% for the year. Now, looking at some of the data that we look at, crude oil, refined products prices down double digits for the second year in a row. Futures of crude oil and key U.S. refined oil products ended the year down double digits for a second straight year, and as a global supply glut weighed on the industry. Futures of Brent, the global crude benchmark, down 35% for the year. And that comes after a 48% drop in oil prices in 2014. When we begin trading next year, the price of Brent crude will be at $37.28 a barrel. U.S. crudes, West Texas Intermediate futures, down for the year 30% after a 46% decline the previous year. And when we start trading next year, U.S. crude will be at $37.04 a barrel. U.S. gasoline futures finished down 12% for the year after a 48% slump in 2014. Many of us were able to enjoy some of that at the gas pump. And heating oil futures ended down 40% for a second year in a row as we watch that petroleum market continue its slide. And right now, no indication that we are going to cut production in the OPEC countries or in the shale oil industry in the United States. But the year was a down year for just about everything else. U.S. copper, for example, lost a quarter of their value in 2015, straight third year of losses. And most of that, again, as we look global, you look at China. Slowing growth in top copper consumer China. There's a supply overhang in copper and a strong dollar. So down 25% for the copper market. Gold, remember, doesn't seem to me it was too long ago that, boy, there were books and advisors saying gold will hit $2,000. Well, gold down in 2015, 10% for its third annual loss. And analysts are saying it's going to be a tough year ahead for gold and investors there. 10% down, third straight loss, largely influenced by monetary policies of the U.S. and dollar flows. Some investors sold the precious metal to buy assets that pay a yield, such as stocks and the stock market. But now this is interesting, because while the gold futures and gold prices were down, the U.S. Mint sold a record amount of American Eagle silver bullion coins and saw sales of its gold coins go up by 53%. As weak metal prices did bring a fresh wave of buying by investors and collectors, sales of American Eagle gold coins in 2015 hit 801,500, while 47 million ounces of their silver counterparts were also purchased. Some of the other action in the marketplace, well, we'll look at those closing prices in the grain and in the livestock market, because it was not the best year to be in commodities. And certainly in the agricultural community, a lot of people are feeling the impact of another year of lower prices for the grain market and lower prices for other commodities as well. The grain prices at the Chicago Board of Trade, the last trading day of the year, was a downer. The March wheat contract down a quarter of a cent for the day, but it ended at $4.70. The March corn contract down a penny for the day, 3.58¾. And now that we're going into 2016, let's take a look at new crop corn for December of 2016. It ended at $3.83 a bushel, down 0.75¢. January soybeans today dropped 4.5¢, 8.71¼. And soybean oil down 43 points at 30.75. Soybean meal down $1 a ton, $264.30 is where the price ended the year 2015. Quite a roller coaster ride in both hog and cattle futures during the year. And we've seen substantial drops in price. The December cattle contract, of course, terminated today, the last day of the month, and it ended $2.80 higher at $135.80. But the next month, February, ended the day down 45 cents at $136.25. And in the feeder cattle market, the January contract ended the day and the year at $166.87. That was a gain of 92 cents for the day. There was one report issued today, even though we're approaching the holiday, the weekly claims for state unemployment benefits up sharply last week. That's a potential signal the job market is losing some steam, although some of the increase might be attributed to temporary holiday factors. Initial claims for state unemployment benefits, according to the Labor Department this morning, up 20,000. That put the number at 287,000 new claims for the week ended December 26, the highest since July. But economists polled by Reuters had forecast claims rising to 270,000 in the last week, so it came well above that. But the U.S. labor market did heat up in 2015, enough for the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates on December 16 for the first time in a decade. That was a milestone in the U.S. recovery from the 2007 and 9 recession. So that's pretty much a look at the year on Wall Street. Oh, the bond market. Yeah, that was an interesting year as well. U.S. Treasuries prices increased today to end the year higher than expected by many investors and with the yield curve flatter than in 2014. Well, I'm spending time in Arizona. And in Arizona, the week between Christmas and New Year's, they hold a national livestock show. I spent a day there after the Christmas holiday, and I'm going to share with you some of my visits coming up with the Director of Agriculture, with the Executive Director of the Arizona National Livestock Show, and the Pioneer Stockman of the Year, John Hayes. All of that when we continue on the market, sponsored by the CME Group.
For more than 150 years, CME Group has been built with your confidence. Without it, we simply wouldn't be in business. Today, we continue to work on new and better ways to protect you and grow your confidence in the markets. After all, it's our vigilance that brings you the peace of mind you need today and in the future. CME Group. Advance with confidence.
Mark Killian serves as Director of Agriculture for the state of Arizona, but he's an active cattleman as well. We just watched his pen be declared the Grand Champion's pen of heifers, sold for a pretty good price. How long have you been in the cattle business?
Our family's been in the cattle business in Arizona for over 100 years, and we've ranched in Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Kentucky, and it's part of our life. I mean, agriculture is our life.
Well, it's good to have a director of agriculture that has that kind of lineage behind him. And how has your ranching experience helped in your job?
Well, one of the reasons they asked me to be the director is because our family's been involved in farming and ranching for over 100 years in citrus, cotton, wheat, alfalfa, cattle. And because of that background, the way I was raised, I'm familiar with the day-to-day operations of most farmers and ranchers. And so as a director, when we have to make decisions that impact agriculture, I'm a lot more sensitive to those operations. And we're there, in our opinion, to help agriculture succeed, not to create roadblocks for them.
So what is the biggest challenge faced by the agricultural community in this state?
Well, Arizona, the biggest challenge, I think, is that we do so many great things in agriculture people don't hear about.
Right.
I'm glad you're interviewing us, because we produce some of the best vegetables in America today. We have some of the best pecan groves in America today. We have some of the best cattle herds. We're some of the best new equipped dairies in the world right here in Arizona. And a lot of people don't hear that. In fact, you know, people make a lot about Florida oranges. You haven't lived till you've eaten a Mesa, Arizona navel.
You're right. Yeah.
They are awesome. And so Arizona agriculture is growing. It's developing. It creates a $17 billion economy in the state of Arizona. The new technologies, our water conservation, there's so many positives about Arizona agriculture, and that's what our department is trying to do, is to help advocate for agriculture so people understand where their food comes from and where Arizona plays a vital role in that.
Agriculture is a major employer in your state.
It is. About 88,000 people depend on agriculture dollars for their employment. It's a $17 billion economy in Arizona. And of course, being an urban city, most people don't recognize that. But it is. It's growing. And a lot of people are coming to Arizona because of our good water management to set up new farms and ranches.
I am honored to visit with and present to you and my audience John Hayes, who was honored at the Arizona National Livestock Show as the Pioneer Stockman of the Year. John, I guess to be a pioneer, you have to have been
doing... You have to stay vertical.
Well, that's true, you do. But I take it you've been in the cattle industry a long time.
Oh, always. We've been in cattle business for, in our family for, well, since Revolutionary War days.
Really? So... And your operation is all in Arizona?
All in Arizona. We used to be, originally, it was part of California. And when it first started in 1912 in Arizona, to stock the ranches in California. And my dad ran this ranch. And then as partnerships, deaths occurred, and more stockholders, we bought out the California people and kept the Arizona operation.
So tell me a little bit about the Arizona operation. Cow-calf and...
Cow-calf.
Okay.
It ran from 1,500 feet to almost 6,000 feet up in Yarnell, where you've been in People's Valley down toward Wickenburg.
Yes.
So we had all kinds of climatic zones that we could use with the seasons.
Is it difficult to ranch in the desert, John? What's the biggest challenge?
Biggest challenge is rainfall everywhere, getting enough rainfall. But that was always a problem to fill tanks for water and make feed. So, but we had a large variety of environments, from sub-irrigated meadows in People's Valley to really dry deserts down by Wickenburg. So.
But let's talk about your concern over water, because you served in the Arizona legislature.
Right.
And what did you do on behalf of the state with water?
With water? Well, the first thing that I did when I went was to require that all land sales over 40 acres disclose what source of water was available. If none, say so on drilling, how deep it is, that sort of thing, because they were selling land by carload lots to people all over the world. And some of them had, if you're up above Prescott toward Grand Canyon, you have to go 2,000 feet to get to water. And then there's very little of it. So most people can't afford to drill the well. So it was, that was a big step to help stop land fraud.
And what about the Central Arizona Project?
That was actually in the works for so many years. It was a wonderful plan, and thank God we did it when we did, because we'd never get the money today to do it. And it's been it'll be the salvation of Arizona, provided we get some runoff in the Colorado River.
And that takes snow in the mountains.
Snow in the mountains. Snow in Montana, Wyoming, Colorado.
Right.
And we can't stay dry forever. So maybe this year will be a difference with El Nino years, very hopeful of a snowpack being better.
Finally, John, last question. Any advice for young people who want to get into the cattle industry today?
Well, it's very, very difficult in Arizona because land is so expensive. There's so little land, 15% is privately owned. And to buy a ranch here takes an awful lot of capital. I would suggest they look from East Texas to Florida to East Coast, where you own all the land and you get lots of water. And that's, I think, has a lot more promise for cow-calf operators in the future. Here, private land is just outrageously expensive.
some good advice from the Pioneer Stockman of the Year at the Arizona National Livestock Show. John, thank you and congratulations.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and come again next year.
Will do.
Good.
Indeed, a true pioneer, John Hayes, in the ranching business forever in the state of Arizona, honored this week. The executive director of the Arizona National Livestock Show is Michael Bradley, and I talked to him to find out if there is a reason they hold a livestock show in this holiday week.
Well, there is. This particular show, which started out as a Hereford show in 1948, has always been on the state fairground site, Orion, and it's always been the last part of December and usually early January. And obviously in Phoenix, what great weather do you typically have at that time of year? And so folks in the very, very cold country love coming out here.
And I would guess you get exhibitors from other states besides Arizona.
We absolutely do. In fact, we're up to 30 states coming here to the Arizona National this year. And in its history, the show has attracted all 50 states, actually, including Alaska and Hawaii.
What species of livestock are featured here at the show?
Well, we have beef cattle, of course, which is the big tradition of the show and big in this region. We have swine, both the breeding swine as well as barrows. We have market goats and then breeding sheep and market sheep. And now we've added 2 years ago a poultry show. Yes, and poultry is big in the West, both from an egg layer standpoint as well as broiler. We offer a turkey division as well as a broiler division.
And I know you like to honor the history and the tradition and the individuals. The Pioneer Stockman Award this year went to who and why?
Well, it went to a great gentleman, Mr. Hayes, who has an extremely incredible history in the state of Arizona for his great work in agriculture and in government, representing the people here in Phoenix in our government's headquarters. And so his long history of his family as well as himself in supporting agriculture has been second to none, really.
How important is 4-H and FFA participation?
Well, that's our mainstay, really. Our mission, which was recently adopted, is called Growing the Future. And what we believe is growing the future is about our youth. We offer up to $50,000 each year in scholarships for young people, all in 4-H and FFA. And those are the young people that are here with us today from the 30 states. We also have an adult division, but families are here. That's very critical. We're known as the vacation show. Because it does happen between Christmas and New Year's. And our own exhibitors really came up with that slogan, so why not adopt it? But Growing the Future is all about young people, young families, and you know how we keep this going, as well as honoring the past and the traditions that built our great industry.
And one final comment, you're in the heart of an urban area. What an opportunity to educate non-farm, non-ranch people. Do they turn out for the show?
They do, absolutely. And we've showcased that for many years, why we grow the food we do and how we grow the food. But we try to do it in an experiential way, we call it. So we have a program called Farm Experience. So in Farm Experience, they get to learn new and different kinds of things as well as traditional elements about farming and ranching in the West. One of the most fun and exciting things is the mutton busting. And so the kids are out here today just really enjoying that. We've got some other educational programs related to young families as well as kids. And, of course, they love to go through the barns, listen to the judges, touch the animals. And, you know, it's a great program to be able to offer that opportunity.
For more than 150 years, CME Group has been built with your confidence. Without it, we simply wouldn't be in business. Today, we continue to work on new and better ways to protect you and grow your confidence in the markets. After all, it's our vigilance that brings you the peace of mind you need today and in the future. CME Group. Advance with confidence.
It was an unsettling year for cattle producers, and talking to a lot of the cattle producers attending the Arizona National Livestock Show, they said, yeah, we're feeling it, and we're going to feel it even more the way this market is going. However, they did comment that it doesn't look as dark as it did a couple, 3 months ago when we were looking at down limit moves every other day, it seemed like. Today, that thinly traded nearby December that expired at noon, as I mentioned earlier, settled $2.80 higher for the day. And the new lead month, which is February, ended up 10 cents at $136.80. Uncertainty over whether further advances are warranted in the coming year definitely weighed on contracts today, because beef demand tends to struggle through the end of January as the consumers pay off year-end holiday debt. Incidentally, I don't want to make some of you cattle feeders kind of envious. There is a restaurant in Scottsdale, Arizona, that is charging $45 an ounce for Wagyu beef, the Japanese beef, I guess similar to Kobe. I don't like it because it's too fatty for me, and so I don't like it. But yes, $45 an ounce, and the minimum amount you can buy is 8 ounces. So I'll let you do the arithmetic. And wouldn't it be great if we could get that for all of the beef, and then cattle producers would be in pretty good shape again. The hog market, well, it had its ups and downs too, but down slightly on year-end positioning and conflicting market fundamentals. This morning's wholesale pork price was up $1.07 per hundredweight to $68.85 from Wednesday. Most processors have full inventories into early next week, while supermarkets apparently bought sparingly until they figure out how much of it sold over the New Year's holiday. So let's turn to the grain market and what happened there in the year. Not a good year. Wheat down 20% for the year, corn down 10%, soybeans down 14.5%, as again we're watching weather in South America, and that is having an impact on the soybean market. And of course, the wheat market, we've had trouble in the global market selling American wheat almost all year because of the strength of the dollar. And so that has been a problem for the wheat market. Now, weekly export sales data for soybeans added some pressure today. The USDA reported sales of soybeans in the week to December 24th. At 478,800 tons, that is below a range of trade estimates, and it is a marketing year low. The corn and soybeans each declined for a third straight year, and we're feeling that impact in all of the input markets, particularly equipment, tractors and combines, that are really having their challenge now, struggling with the prices that we have in the grain market particularly. So what about the new year? What are we going to be looking at next week? First trading day will be Monday, January 4th, and the markets will return with a new year after, I guess you'd call it a middling performance for all of 2015, and they'll refocus on the coming jobs report. Armed with new contributions from 401k and pension plans, that should at least help lift stocks in the early going. And with some of the big events that happened in the world in the past year, certainly here in the U.S., the Federal Reserve raising interest rates for the first time in 10 years. We've been talking about it for 8 years, it seems like, and finally they did it. On Wednesday of next week, the Federal Open Market Committee will issue minutes from its meeting of December 15 and 16. That's the meeting where it raised interest rates. Then on Thursday, Federal Reserve Bank presidents from around the country will be on the speaking circuit. Monsanto Company, one of the world's largest seed and agricultural companies, scheduled to release financial results for its fiscal first quarter 2016 on Wednesday. Thursday, the largest drugstore chain, Walgreens Boots Alliance, will report first quarter results. Well, may we wish you a very happy and healthy new year, and maybe a little more prosperous than the year that's just ending. But thank you for joining us every week on The Market, sponsored by the CME Group.